Sunday the 22nd of November, Hay Kislade, Rabbi Meir Rappaport, a claim regarding a property title.
I'd like to discuss a shaila which was brought to the Beis Din in London many, many years ago. My Zayda wrote a tshuva about the shaila, and he sent this shaila to the Sridi Eish also. The story was like this. During the war, we know that a lot of Yidden were evacuated from London, left London, and a kehillah settled in Lechua. The kehillah grew there, they set up a base medrash, a shul, a school, a Talmud Torah, and the question arose regarding a mikveh. They needed a mikveh. Now there was a person there who was a nediv leiv, a bal tzedakah, a fine fellow, and he had bought himself a house with a yard, with a garden, and he offered to lend his garden, his yard, to the kehillah in order for them to build a mikveh on that garden, in the garden. And so they did. They went collecting, they invested money, and they built a mikveh in this yard. What happened was, after the war, everybody started coming back to London in trickles, and slowly but surely the kehillah dwindled. However, a kehillah remained in Letchworth, small kehillah, and it was the Mesudadiki Kehillah. They had a Beis Medrash, they had a shul, they had a school with a Talmud Torah, and they had this mikveh. Now one fine day, this is already in the 1950s, this fellow decides that he wants to sell his house. But you can't sell a house without a garden. So he offered them, gave them two options. Either get rid of the mikveh, which would, first of all, cost them the money to, they put money into this mikveh to get rid of the mikveh, and they've lost the mikveh. The other option he gave them was that they could buy the house from him at a reduced rate. He was a fine fellow, he was a good man. So they said, no, you lent this piece of land to the kehillah, this garden to the kehillah, and the kehillah still exists and the kehillah still needs it. So therefore you have no right to claim it back at the moment. True, you didn't give it as a present, but you lent it. But it's on loan to the kehillah for as long as they need it. And he says, no. He said, no one ever chalomed, no one ever dreamed that the kehillah would remain here after the war. I had in mind to lend it to the kehillah as long as it was dangerous to live in London, as long as it was necessary to live in Letchworth on a temporary basis, that's as long as I lent it. Now the war's over, there's no more danger living in London, I don't plan staying here, so I only lent it for a limited period of time. This was the Din Torah. The Dayanim who sat on this Din Torah were my Zayda, Dayan Grossus, and Dayan Lu. My Zayda wrote a tshuva on this. So here we have two opposing positions. We have a donation, a loan, to the kehillah, to tzedakah. One party claims that I gave it for the minimum period of time, which was the duration of the war. And they said, no, you lent it for a maximum period of time, as long as it's needed by the kehillah. As long as the kehillah needs it, that's a maximum period amount of time. Now the Ramah says in Choshe Mishpat, we have it here, point number one on the piece of paper, Ha'oimer yodul ployni bebayi zeh. Somebody gives permission for someone else to live in his house, but he doesn't fix a time limit. He doesn't say how long this person can live in his house for. Ha'oimer yodul ployni bebayi zeh, veloi kotzav zman hadira. He didn't say how long he lets the person live in his house for. Afilu rakshor achas b'mashma, says the Ramah in Choshe Mishpat, that if he wishes he can evict the person even after 1 hour. After 1 hour he said, your time's up, finished. But you didn't say how long? Minimum. We take on that he meant to let him live in the house for a minimum period of amount of time. So the Ramah paskens where a person obligates himself and he doesn't specify a set amount of time, we assume he meant the minimum amount of time and he has a right to evict that person after 1 hour. However, if we look at this Ramah and we apply it to our Shaila, it would come out that he can evict them, he can tell them to get rid of the mikveh. I meant a minimum period amount of time, which is the duration of the war, no longer. The only question is, can we make a distinction? In the case of the Ramah, it says, Ha'oimer yodur ployni v'bayzeh. It's between me and my friend. Ben Hediyat, between hediot, beinodom lechaveroi. So therefore, if I mischayev, if I obligate myself to a fellow man, so we say I only meant the period amount of time where the time was vague, where I didn't specify an amount of time. You assume you only meant to loan him, to give him, to obligate yourself for the minimum amount of time. However, what happens if I mischayev, if I obligate myself ligavoya, to hekdesh, let's say, or to tzedakah? And we know that tzedakah has a din of a neder. Or if I make a neder, for example, the pasuk says, "Moitzos vosecho tishmoil v'osiso, kasha nodal tol Hashem elokecho, nedova asher dibarto beficho." Chazal darshan, the Gemara brings a drasha beficho zu tzedakah. Tzedakah has the status of a neder. So maybe regarding a neder, I don't assume that what was meant was a minimum amount of time. Maybe I assume it's meant a longer period, maybe even a maximum amount of time. So relevant to this discussion, we have another Ramo. And here we have it on the paper, point number two. V'yeish oimrim, says the Ramo. Some say, and if you look in brackets, we'll see this is a Tshuvas HaRashbo. V'yeish oimrim, da mekabel olav lozun chaveiro istam. If somebody obligates himself, he's mischayev, to feed his friend stam, without specifying how long he wants to feed his friend. Says the Rama, halacha is, based on a Tshuvas HaRashbo, kol yemei chayov, he is obligated to feed him for the rest of this fellow's life, or he calls man shetzorich mashma, or as long as this fellow needs it. So here we have a Rama, based on a Tshuvas HaRashbo, who seems to imply that if I obligate myself to a friend, then I assume, and I didn't specify an amount of time, we assume that I meant maximum, not minimum. The Yeshonim, says the Rama, another Yeshonim, and this is a Tshuvas HaRosh, Deim Kibel Olav Elazonu Stam, if a person obligates himself, and he says, I'll feed you, and he doesn't specify, I'll feed you, or instead of feeding you food, I'll give you money instead, I'll give you 100 Zehuvim Lashon, and you can go buy your own food. Says the Rosh, Nifta v'shona achas min nidroi. As potter, he's potter from his neder, from his obligation. He's free from that obligation after a year. The Rosh seems to say clearly that if I obligate myself, I'm mischayev to my friend, and I don't say how long, I say 100 zuvim per year. For how many years? He didn't specify how many years. We assume he meant the minimum amount of time, which is 1 year. Say the shach. And this man, that these two Yesh Oimrims that the Rama brings, the Rashba and the Rosh, are arguing with each other. And the argument is, if I obligate myself, and I don't specify a period amount of time, so what do we say? Do we say I meant a minimum amount of time? Or do we say I meant a maximum amount of time? The Rashba holds that if I obligated myself in a vague fashion, I didn't specify an amount of time, we take on that I meant to obligate myself for a maximum amount of time. Which is why the first Yesh Oimer in the Rashbo says, Kol Yemei Chayov, or as long as the person needs it. Whereas the Rosh holds, no. If a person obligates himself, and he didn't specify how long he's obligating himself for, we assume he meant a minimum period amount of time. You said 100 Zehuvim Neshona, 100 Zehuvim per year, so after 1 year, you're potter, you're free from your obligation. It's a machloikus. If we apply it to our case, then we'd say the same thing here. We have a machloikus. According to the Rashba, the Kehillah has a right to keep the mikvah on this land. And according to the Rosh, the person can say, I'm sorry, you've got to get rid of the mikvah. Please remove it. I only obligated myself for a minimum period amount of time, which was, obviously, clear to all, the duration of the war. The thing is like this, the Rashba, who says maximum, brings a raya from a Gemara. And let's have a look at the Gemara. Mishnah Nedarim, the Mishnah says as follows. It's a bit of background. We've got a taxpayer. Now nobody likes to pay tax. And the taxpayer comes and he wants to claim tax from your land. Now, you've got to get out of it. Must be a way of getting out of it. Must be a way of evading tax. Of course we're talking here, if the tax collector is collecting a tax unlawfully, let's not try and evade taxes legally, proper taxes. Tax collector is claiming unlawful taxes, And therefore, you have a right to try and get rid of the taxpayer, the tax collector. What do you do? Sorry? Maybe he's running after Yidden and not Goyim. In those days, there was all sorts of ways of collecting taxes unlawfully. So what do you do? So a person, says the Mishnah in the Dorim, that a person is allowed to make a neder, in order to get the tax collector off his back. Now what is he going to do? He's going to make some crazy sort of neder, a real exaggerated neder, which will make the tax collector believe that he doesn't have to pay the tax. What will he do? So the tax collector comes and says, look, you've got all this land, I want you to pay taxes. He says to him, no, it's not my land, it's the king's land. I'm just looking after him, I'm paid to look after the king's land, and therefore I don't have to pay tax on this land. So the tax collector says, well, look, I don't believe you. He says, what do you mean you don't believe me? If this land is not the king's land, then I hassle all the payers of the world on myself. All the food in the world is offered to me. So the tax collector is obviously going to believe him now, because the fellow is not going to starve to death. If he made a neder that he's not going to eat anything, and all the food in the world will be offered to him, then this way the tax collector will believe that it's not his land. It's not my land, I'm telling you. And if it's my land, I'm telling you, all the payers in the world should be offered to me if this land is not the king's land. That's what he says. Asks the Gemara, says the Gemara on the paper here, hey chinoda, so what neder does he make? Omer of Amram, so Rav Amram Omer Rav, in the name of Ram, says, but Omer, he says, ye osru peiroi sa'ulam alai, im einon shabbos amel. All the food of the world should be offered to me if this land does not belong to the king. Says the Gemara, but how can he make such a neder? If he makes such a neder, it will be hell. And he'll starve. He won't be able to eat anything anymore. How can he make such a neder? Says the Gemara, but Omer hayoim. He says, all the food of the world should be offered to me today, if this land is not the king's. Says the Gemara, if he says today, it's not very hard to fast today. We do it a few times a year. Kim do Omer, ye osri yitzra'ala kopei avoim ahayoim. Ye do Omer ahayoim, says the Gemara on the third line. Lo mekabel minei mucha, so the tax collector will not believe him. Because you haven't said anything too difficult to keep, that I should believe you. Says the Gemara, he whispers hayoim. He says it to himself, beliboy. He says, all the payments of the world should be osa. And quietly to himself, in his mind, he thinks to himself, today. That's a Gemara. Leave it at that. Says the Rashba, but if he wouldn't say Hayoim, then the fruit of the world, the food of the world will be offered to him forever. Why? He didn't say forever, did he? Did he say all the fruit of the world should be offered? He just said offered. He didn't say forever. He didn't specify how long this neder should last. Says Rashba, you see from here, that when I make a neder, or for that matter any ischaivus, and I don't specify an amount of time, you see from here that if he doesn't say to himself today, it will mean forever. So you see that a kabbalah bistam, a neder bistam, where I never specified an amount of time, means forever.
Kabbalah is not 30
days. Sorry?
A kabbalah bistam is not 30 days.
So the Gemara seems to imply here we're talking about a neder, or we're talking about ischaivus, and any ischaivus would be la'olam void. And that's the Rashba's raya to his shita.
It doesn't need to be la'olam void, it only needs to be
as long as necessary.
Start
Sorry?
It only has to be 3 days long or something like that till it starts.
You're right, yeah, okay, and a chanami, but it's a maximum rather than a minimum. It's a maximum rather than a minimum. So the Rashba's got a shtaka right from the Gemara. Vos geit de Rosh tom idem rai? What's the Rosh who says that a Kabbalah bistam, or a neder bistam means minimum, what's he going to do with this Gemara? How will he fend for the rai from this Gemara? Comes along the Tumim, and the Chassam Sofer, and they come along like this. And they say as follows. In reality, they want to suggest as follows. If a person makes his chayvus bistam, or a neder, and he doesn't specify how long it should last for, then you know what? It's not minimum, and it's not maximum. The answer is, we don't know. We really don't know what it means. When a person doesn't specify, it remains besophic. It remains in doubt. But what, if it remains in doubt, what do we do? If you come to the rabbi can't say, I don't know, because he'll get fired. So what's he meant to say? What are you meant to do? So, say the Tumim and Chassam Sofer, and they say as follows. It's very simple. We need to know what is the issue at hand here. If we're discussing a neder, We know the halacha is, the klal is, the general rule is, stam nedorim lahachmir. So if the issue is a neder, so we'll be machmir, we'll go lechumr. But if the issue is bein adam lechaveiroi, bein hedet leheded, between me and my fellow man, and I'm mischayev to Yankel, and Yankel comes to claim from me, and he says you meant maximum, and I say no, I only meant minimum, so you're right, we're in doubt. But you know what we'll say? Hamoitzim echaveiroi, olavarayu, you Yankel want to claim from me, you prove that I meant maximum, not minimum. It's the onus of the proof is upon you to prove that you meant maximum and not minimum. So therefore we're making a distinction between hediot and govoya, neder, tzdocha, anything else. When it comes to hediot, we say hamoitzim echaveiroi, olavarayu, and therefore we assume minimum was meant. When we discuss nedorim, tzedaka, govoya, anything else where we are usually machmir, stam nedorim lahachmir, and tzedaka, befichot tzedaka, tzedaka is included in nedorim, therefore we'll say stam nedorim lahachmir, and we will be machmir. And therefore, the Rosh can very easily refute the proof of the Rashba on the Gemara. The Gemara with the tax collector was talking about a neder. When it comes to a neder, we have to be machmir, and we assume maximum. The Rosh's case was when he was mischayev to his friend. And therefore, hamoitzim echaveiro olavarai, we assume that he meant to obligate himself only for a minimum amount of time. Say the tumim and the chasam soifa based on this shtickle. Therefore, we can now say that the Rosh and the Rashba were never actually arguing with each other. And with the Ramon point two here, brings two yesh oimrims, one a Rashba who says maximum, and the other yeshomim a Rosh who says minimum, there's no machloikas Rosh and Rashba like the Shach and the Sma say. No. Say the Tumich Chasam Soif, we argue with the Shach and Sma. There's actually no argument between them. Because the Rosh and the Rashba were discussing two different cases. The Rashba, who says maximum, was discussing an obligation to an Oni, to a poor man, which is Tzedakah. And therefore Tzedakah, Befichozu Tzedakah, has the status of a Neder, and therefore we on Machmir, Stam Nedorim Lahachmir, we assume a maximum obligation was meant. The Rosh was discussing a person who wants to feed his friend. He doesn't really need it, but he wants to support him. And therefore, that's why we assume minimum, because Hamoitzi Mechaveiroi, all of Arai, the onus on the proof is on the claimant to prove that I meant maximum. Now, if we take the Tumim and the Chasam Sofer back to our Shaila, it would come out that because this gentleman, this Baal Tzedakah, this fine person, lent the land for the purpose of a mikveh to the Kehillah, it's Begeder Tzedakah, and therefore Stam Nedorim Lahachmir, therefore we would be Machmir, therefore Lechoyle the Kehillah can walk out happy and say that he has to keep the mikveh on the land, he has no choice but to leave this land here, and he's going to lose the case. That would be the psak din according to the Tumim Chasam Sofer. Came along by Zayda, and he argued with the Tumim, and he argued with the Chasam Sofer. Based on what? He has a kasha, two kashas. Number one, he says that the Tumim himself poses this question, and he finds it very difficult to answer. He says, if you look in the Rosh, when the Rosh says that a Kabbalah Bistam is assumed to mean minimum, says the Rosh, he says it even klapi govoya, even klapi hektish. That would be mamash akasha on the Tumim, and the Tumim himself asks it. And he finds it difficult to answer, bedoichik he answers. If you look at here, we've got it, bottom of the page. Ve'af klapi govoya amrinon ken, says the Rosh. The kol sha'odom noida lahovi mishaloi sha'on hoichim acha hanadova haktano. We always, if a person promises to bring in a dovo to the Beis Hamikdash, we always assume he meant the minimum. So even for Hektish, the Rosh says minimum. That's the first question. The other Kashi asks from a Gemara in Shavuos, where we will see that when a person makes a Kabbalah Bistam, or a Neder Bistam, or a Shavuos Bistam, we don't say it remains Besofek, and therefore Ligabi Nedom will be Machmir, Ligabi Hediot will be Mekil. No. He seems to say that even Ligabi Govoya legabe nedorim, legabe shvua, legabe neder, we are mekil, even lechatchila. Where does he say this? The Gemara says, by a shvua, if a person makes a shvua, that all the world, all the payrus of the world, all the food of the world should be offered to him, says the Gemara, stom el oilo mashma, we assume that he meant forever, and therefore, because it meant forever, and a person can't starve, therefore we say it's a shvuas shov, and he gets malchus, and he can eat straight away. The second he's finished making the shvua, automatically the shvua is not chal, because it's a shvua shov, a person can't starve forever, he gets malchus, and we assume that the shvua is bottle. So we see over here, that you say stoma lo oilo mashma, even the kula. Even the kula you're saying stoma lo oilo mashma. Why? Otherwise, how can you give him malchus? You're assuming that when he made a shvua bistoma, that it meant lo oilo. Who said it meant lo oilo? It's in doubt. According to the Tumen, the Chasam Sofer, it's in doubt. How can you give him malchus because you assumed that he meant forever and you're saying it's a shvua shov? Maybe he never meant forever and it's not a shvua shov. And if you shouldn't get malchus. You see from here that by a shvua you say stoma la oilom, even the kula is a kasha on the Tumim and the Chasam Sofer. So it's getting a bit late. I'll tell you what my Zayda suggested to say. Based on a Rosh and Shavuos. Based on a Rosh and Shavuos. And the Rosh and Shavuos says like this. He wants to say that in Emes and like this. Be'emes, default position according to the Rosh is always minimum. If a person is mishaiv himself in a vague fashion, and he doesn't specify clearly how long, whether it be Lehediot, whether it be Legavoya, whether it be for a Neder, a Shavuos, whatever it may be, default position would be he meant minimum. He meant minimum. And this is based on a Rosh in Shavuos. However, sometimes if a person is mischayiv himself in a vague fashion, if we'll assume it meant minimum, then you've basically been mevatel his whole mischayivus. You'll be mevatel his whole mischayivus. If a person makes a shvua, and he doesn't specify amount of time, so what would the minimum amount of time be? A second. So the minute he's finished making that shvua, the shvua would have finished already. It would be over. Now why would a person make a shvua which defeats its own purpose, which by the time he's finished making the shvua is already done and dusted? A person makes a shvua, he's not going to eat. So if you're going to say he's not going to eat for a second, so by the second after he's finished making the shvua, he can eat already. Why would a person make such a shvua? It doesn't make sense. So where, by making, assuming he met the minimum, it'll be mevatel his whole dibur, then we'll go back to the maximum position. So true that by default a schaivus bistam is assumed to mean minimum, but that's only when the minimum has an actual meaning, when the minimum is realistic, when the schaivus can remain in a situation of minimum. But where, by assuming he met a minimum amount of time, you'll be mevatel the whole dibur, then we'll go back to the position, we'll go to the position that obviously he meant maximum. That's what he wanted to say, based on a Rosh in Shavuos. We find a svara similar to this in a tshuva of the Rosh. The Rosh brings a tshuva as a person promised to give a friend of his 15 gold coins achar ha-pesach, after the Pesach. Says the Rosh, the words achar ha-pesach, the Pesach, implies a certain Pesach. So usually we would say, well, which Pesach? I'll give you 15 coins after Pesach. After Pesach, my friend comes and says, give me my 15 coins. He says, no. I meant Pesach after 6,000 years. So he said, no, you meant this Pesach after this Pesach. So it could be after this Pesach. It could be after Pesach and 6,000 years. Or it could be some sort of Pesach somewhere in between today and 6,000. Now to say it means one of the Pesachs between today and 6,000 is not realistic. Why? Because the words achar ha-Pesach, the Pesach, means a specific Pesach. Either this Pesach or the last Pesach. Now, to say he meant after the last Pesach means that his holy schaivus to his friend is a joke. And why would a person make such a schaivus? It doesn't make sense. Therefore, says the Rosh, because it doesn't make sense to say he meant after the last Pesach, therefore, by default, we'll assume he meant after this Pesach. So it says the Zaydin, based on a Rosh and Shavuos, that whenever you can assume it means minimum, then you can say minimum. If you can't, then you'll jump to maximum. Therefore we can say very good. If a person says, in the Gemara in the Dorim, where the tax collector comes, and he wants to prove that it's the king, it belongs to the king, so he'll say, I ask all the payers of the world. I ask all the payers of the world. Says the Rashba, you see from here, that when you make a neder bistam, it means the olam. Says the Zayde, it doesn't mean lechumra like the tumim and the chasim sofer. Itaka means olam. Itaka meant the shvul olam. I didn't say forever. He said bistam. Yeah, but if he meant minimum, then the neder would be bottle the second he's finished. The minute he's finished making the neder, it's over. A neder can last a second. So if we say meant minimum, it would be a second. Therefore, that's why the Gemara says that if he makes a neder bistam, it means l'oilom. However, if I say to my friend that I'll give him kuf zehuvim leshono, I'll give him 100 zuz a year, per year, there's no reason why we can't assume minimum. Because if I say 100 zehuvim per year, then it has a clear-cut minimum. The minimum is substantial. It's not over the second I've made it. It's not batel. My dibur is not meaningless if I assume minimum. Therefore, I have a right to assume minimum.
Sorry? Is it per year? Is that give you 100 zuvim per year?
Per year.
That means it means...
No, lishona, I'll give you 100 zuvim a year. Not per year. I give you 100 zuvim... I gave you 100 zuvim a year. Kuf zuvim
a year.
Yeah, could be a year. Sorry? Oh, kibel olav lezoino stam. If I say to a person, I'll feed you. So what's he going to feed him? One raisin? The minimum would be a raisin. So to say he's going to feed him a raisin, that's obviously a dibba which is batel and mevutel. He never meant to say, therefore, we'll automatically assume maximum. No. In the first case, it's a v'yei shoymin. Is it called kol yemei chayov or called manchetzorich mashma? Sorry? Why? Because there... No, it's one case. No. It's one case. Im kibel olav lezoinu stam. The story over here in the second yeshom is as follows. Yeah. So good, because they point this out. The noisekeim point out what you're saying, and they say, you read it like this. I say to my friend, I'm going to feed you food, or I'll give you, instead of food, I'll give you 100 zuz a year. That's what I say. Those are the words I say to him. Sorry? The lashon is going on both. Say the mefoshim. And therefore, we have a clear-cut minimum of a year. Mashenk in the first Rashba, the first Yeshayimrim, where he didn't specify a year, he just said, I'll feed you. So minimum would mean a raisin. He didn't have to feed him a raisin. A raisin is pointless. He wouldn't have made such a kabbalah. Must be, he meant maximum. Based on this, there's no machloikas between the Rosh and the Rashba. And I'll just tefirois. Therefore, there's no difference, according to this mahalach, between Gavoya and Hediot. There's no distinction between Gavoya and Hediot. The default position will always be minimum, if the minimum can be mekuim, if the minimum has a kiyum, if my dibur is not batel by assuming minimum. So therefore, if we now come back to the shaila that was posed in front of the Bezdin, because the minimum here has a kiyum, which means the duration of the war, therefore, there's no reason why he cannot claim back his land, because even though it was a Kabbalah Bistam, it was a Ischaivus Bistam, but by default we can assume that Ischaivus Bistam meant minimum if the minimum has a kiyum and his words are not bottled, his dibur is not bottled through that. And therefore, Psak Halacha Lamaisa was that he can ask them to remove the mikveh, or he gave them a choice of buying the house from him at a reduced rate.